Hey, I knew there was a reason why that passage seemed so appropriate for the call to worship, and that's because last week I assigned it for the scripture reading. Anyway, thank you, brother, for reading that for us again. And the reminder is just as important, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. Have you ever felt scared about something that just seemed too big? Something that you didn't think you were going to be able to handle? Something too hard for you to do? Maybe for some of our kiddos, it was a test at school, or trying to make a new friend, or standing up for what's right, even when maybe you were the only one doing that. Tonight, we're going to hear about a young man named David who faced a very scary situation. But God was with David, and he's going to be with you too. Let's first talk about the problem. And the problem was a pretty scary warrior. If I come to 1 Samuel 17, that's where we read about David and Goliath. And I look beginning at verse 4. Now, I just want to read this to you because this Goliath fella, he was a pretty intimidating guy. He was a scary dude. 1 Samuel 17:4, there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. All right, the way we would say that is something like 9 feet, 9 inches tall. There are some folks who debate that a little bit, but for tonight, let's say somewhere around in there. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 126 pounds. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. All right, this javelin of bronze is kind of like a sword, but you ever seen those swords with a curved blade? And it was between his shoulders, so he could reach back behind there and pull that thing out. It wasn't on a sheath on his waist. It was between his shoulder blades back there. He's a pretty scary guy. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Could refer to how long it was, or maybe even to the weight of it. And the head of the spear, that's the pointy part, was 600 shekels of iron, or somewhere around 15 pounds. 15 pounds for just the end of the spear. And this guy has a shield bearer who goes before him, a shield bearer who went before him. All right, if Goliath were standing up here with me on the platform, I wonder just how tall he would be. You think he would be maybe a Mr. Chad or a Mr. Charlie, somebody like that? The guys upstairs are going to help me a little bit with this. I've measured this out, and I think he'd be something like this tall, 9 feet, 9 inches. That's 9 feet, 9 inches from his head. Now, pay no attention, those of you who can see that his feet aren't on the ground, okay? Just go with me for the effect, all right? I worked hard on that. No, I'm just kidding. So look at this. I'm right about 6 feet tall, and that's about 9 feet tall, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, way up there. Now, I don't think he looked like a cartoon, but that's the closest I could come up with, all right? Because the Bible tells us that Goliath had a coat of mail on. So he had this armor that kind of had these little links in it. And I don't know if you can see this, but this picture shows this fellow with this breastplate on that would be kind of like that. We know that Goliath carried a spear. And so this fellow's got a spear, and that looks like a pretty intimidating end on that spear. Now, the real Goliath, I don't think he carried his own shield, because in 1 Samuel 17, we read that he had a shield bearer who went before him. And you can't see his sword. I guess it's behind his back. But that's how tall 9 feet, 9 inches looks. That's even taller than Mr. Chad or Mr. Charlie, right? That's pretty tall. And that's Goliath. Here's this fella who was really, really scary. In fact, I guess he may have well been a green, slimy monster with 3 heads, because as far as the Israelites were concerned, this guy was a really scary guy. When I keep reading a little bit, I read that all of the Israelites, when they heard the stuff that Goliath said, and even King Saul himself, when they heard about Goliath, they were greatly afraid. Those fellas were scared to death. And if I had seen a fellow that was that tall and that strong, I might be the same way. Have you ever faced a problem that felt kind of like a big old scary guy? Maybe it wasn't really a big guy who was kind of being mean like Goliath was, or maybe it was somebody like that. But let's think about something that's been difficult to overcome, or something bad that you didn't want to be doing anymore, and think about how difficult that was to overcome that. Here's some of the things that we've shared together as a family today from the board back in the back. We may not get to read all of these. There's so many. I'm scared of being vulnerable, someone wrote. Caring for aging parents, trauma. Having faithful Christian children. Not having the right words available for others when they need them, and then I come up with them after the moment has passed. How about this one? I'm scared of the dark at night. Sure. I might be scared of the dark in the daytime too, if that was a thing. I'm scared about missing out on something. I'm scared of illness. Somebody wrote children. I think I understand what you mean, all right? I'm not laughing at you. I'm kind of scared of some children too. I'm scared of change. It feels like in the valley, an insurmountable, a really scary enemy is chronic pain, disingenuous Christian friends, they put in quotation marks, uncertainty, failure, rejection. When I make mistakes, when there's unresolved conflict, the future spouse for my child, steady employment and financial stability. Sometimes in the valley, someone wrote, it feels like I enjoy other people's errors. When other people mess up, I take some pleasure in it. Worrying too much about what people think. My children not making it to heaven. Somebody said dying. That can be kind of scary to think about, can't it? Not being baptized yet. Swearing. Wanting your children to stay faithful and not be pulled in by the world. Recovering from trauma. It feels like in the valley I'm up against not being wanted or needed and disappointing God and everybody else. Pride, fear of falling when my husband isn't happy with me. Children who aren't faithful. Being lost and hurting others. Aging and memory fading. Siblings fighting. Cancer. Trying to stay humble. Children that don't seem to be understanding and empathetic to your emotional needs. My kids won't stay faithful. I fear the loss of souls in my earthly family, my grandson and all of my sister's family and their descendants. Old age. Being alone. Fear of losing someone I value. Fear of not going to heaven, even though I shouldn't fear because of the amazing church family I have. Fear of waiting, of uncertainty, of the unknown future. Fear of public speaking. I wrote that one. When I feel sick at school, and then they drew a picture of themselves, and out to the side it says, achoo. I like that. You know, we've tried to lighten the mood just a little bit. None of these things are anything for us to make fun of anybody else about. That's not what we're trying to do. But to say that in the moment, boy, these things feel like we're never going to be able to get over them. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I expected when we came up with this idea of putting that board out there. I started reading over those and even praying over them this afternoon. I walked out here and started reading some of them. And I thought about how much we need each other as a family. And maybe just how much is riding on the lessons that we can learn from David and Goliath. Let's get into it. If you have a handout, the red blanks will correspond with the words in red up on the screen. And first thing I think we learn from David and Goliath is that God wants to help us through our scary problems. See, what I want you to know tonight is that God wants to help you. How will you get past the difficulties? How can you keep on living even though there are some things that are scary? You can keep going with the knowledge that God wants to help us through our scary problems. Here in 1 Samuel 17, we have these two little hills, and down beneath them is this valley. And in this valley, it was really what you call a wadi, a dried up riverbed. So water was flowing there sometimes, maybe in the rainy seasons, but there's nothing there now, maybe except for just this area in between. And so on one side, we had the Philistines, and they were all camped out there, and Goliath would come out, and I don't know, maybe he'd come down a little bit, or maybe he'd just yell out with a big old booming 9 foot, 9 inches tall voice all the way across to the other side of that valley where the Israelites were encamped. And they were all shaking and hiding in their tents and nervous. What's going to happen? How are we going to come up against this guy? And Goliath is coming out and he's saying, somebody come out and fight me. And he's been doing this for 40 days. Somebody come out and fight me. And if I beat you, you're going to be my slaves forever. The Philistines own the Israelites. But if you beat me, then we'll be your slaves. And everybody was scared. The Philistines knew it, right? I mean, Goliath was like their secret weapon. He was everything that they wanted. God was going to help. God was going to help. So we turn our attention to a young man. I want to tell you something about David. I don't think David was a little boy. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. I don't think David was a little kid. I think he was maybe a teenager or a young adult. That's just something we're throwing in for the adults in the room, okay? But here's David, and he's not a soldier. He's a shepherd. But he's a shepherd who loved and trusted God. He was the youngest of all of his brothers, I find out in 1 Samuel 17, verse 14. And I find out that he's been going back and forth between being with King Saul and actually playing music to ease his burdens. And then on the other side, he's been going back home to his dad, Jesse, to help tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So David's a shepherd. But in 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 17, Jesse says to David, his son, I want you to take for your brothers some grain, some loaves, carry them to the camp, and also take some cheese down there. This sounds good. Take 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000 and see if your brothers are doing well, and bring back something from them. I just want to know how your older brothers are doing. So David, you go down there and you check on them, and then you come back. David didn't go down there to fight. He's not even in the army. David goes down there because his dad sent him to go down there. And in verse 23, when Goliath comes out and starts, you know, shouting at the children of Israel, David hears it. Now, Goliath's been doing this for like 40 days, and David hears him say that. And David, well, it kind of makes David angry. He can't believe that this man, Goliath, would do what it is that he's doing. So he says, I'm willing to fight. And King Saul summons him. And King Saul says, okay, are you sure you can do this? I don't think you can do this. You're just a young man. And Goliath has been a man of war ever since he was a young man. And David says, everything I need to know I learned out in the shepherd's field. And really, that is that God takes care of me. When I was out there and a lion came up or a bear came up, I was able to overtake them. And just like God gave me the power and the strength to do that, God will give me the strength to fight Goliath, this Philistine. And Saul said, well, okay, that sounds good, except I want you to wear my armor. And so Saul's not willing to put it on himself and go out there and fight, but he'll give it to David. All right, man, you go after it and get it. And David says, I can't do this. It doesn't fit. It's not right. So instead, what David's going to do is use the tools that he is equipped with. Everybody's been wondering what's under these black sheets. I don't know why I'm in a black sheet mood today, but I am. When I first saw this, I thought, that looks like a COVID mask. Remember those? That's not what this is. When Miss Dwina and Miss Rosemary's parents went to Israel to celebrate their 40th anniversary, they brought back this sling from over there in the area of the world where David comes from. So this is a sling. When I think of a sling, I think of a slingshot, you know? This is probably the kind of shepherd's sling that David may have used. I don't know if it was colorful like this. This one's really pretty. Now, I noticed that down on this end, there's a loop. And I got online. Caleb actually told me. He said, do you know that you can get on YouTube and there are videos of people using these things on YouTube? That's pretty cool. So, I want to show you a YouTube video. All right, this is pretty neat. Are you ready for this? So here's this fella, and he's got one of these slings. It's kind of like this. And down there is a watermelon. Watch what happens. He slings that around. Boom. Did you see that? Okay, wait a minute. Other angle. There's the watermelon. Did you see that? Okay, these things are not to be underestimated, all right? I read in the book of Judges that there were these people called the Benjamites. And they could sling at a hair's width and not miss. In other words, they could be crazy accurate at their aim with a sling. Here's something else. Here's a guy. Oh, look, he's getting a stone. That seems kind of familiar. And he's got a sling kind of like this one. It's a little different. And he's going to put that together there. And see, he wraps the loop. He's getting another stone. He's going to wrap one of these loops around his thumb. And look at this in slow motion. He can release it at just the right time. And look at how far that thing goes. What if you were walking around in those trees out there and suddenly a rock came up and hit you upside the head? That'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? This is the kind of thing. I mean, this doesn't look like much, does it? But David could do something really powerful with a shepherd's sling. That's what this is. Well, this morning after worship, Mr. Sam Hester came up to me and he said, I've got something from Israel as well. Would you like to borrow it to show everyone tonight? I said, I'd love to. He went over there. In fact, he went to the very place where David and Goliath met up with each other, to the Valley of Elah. And there he went down to the dry riverbed that still exists and got 5 smooth stones. This is one of 5, and David only used the one, right? He would put that in that shepherd's sling. I was talking with Brother Ben Flatt before we started, and he said, if you're going to sling that my direction, use the second stone, not the first, because David only needed the one. Okay, I don't know who gets the first one. I'm not going to sling these because these aren't mine. But this is pretty heavy. And you think about what this thing would do. Now, we just saw a video of a fella hurling a stone at a watermelon. What do you think would happen if this thing hit you right in the head? We'll find out what happens in just a minute. Isn't that neat? 5 smooth stones. We've got a shepherd's sling here. When I come to 1 Samuel 17, one of the things that I realize is this: no matter how small you might feel, God can use you when you trust Him. We've talked about trust a lot in this series. When we trust God, it means that we're willing to do what He says. We believe that what he says is right and true. God always keeps his promises. If God says he's going to do something, then he's going to do it. And so when I come to 1 Samuel 17, I read that here's this young man who trusted God. He said, God's going to help me through this. David remembered how God had protected him when he was out in the fields tending his father's sheep, and the lion and the bear came up. And God, he knew that God would help him defeat Goliath too. So sometimes we may be facing things, and these things may seem really big. They may seem as big as Goliath, or maybe bigger. And we may wonder, how are we ever going to get through this? But we know that God wants to help us. And we know that God can use us if we'll trust his plan, if we'll trust him. Boy, I wish King Saul would have known that. King Saul, he's supposed to be the leader of everybody. King Saul was pretty tall among the Israelites. Bible says he stood head and shoulders above all the rest of those folks. But even Saul was afraid to go to battle against Goliath. David wasn't. David's just a young shepherd boy. He's not a warrior. David knew God can use you when you trust him. David didn't wear the armor. He didn't use a sword. He took 5 smooth stones and his sling. 1 Samuel chapter 17 tells me down in verse 38, Saul clothed David with his armor. He put the helmet of bronze on him. He clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped a sword over his armor, and he tried to go, but he couldn't. He hadn't tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I haven't tested them. And so David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And look what happens in verse 41. This is exciting to read. The Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He was kind of like, oh, this guy? Are you serious? This is who you're sending out here? Because he was only a youth. He was ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's not a very nice thing to say, is it? You come to me, I'm going to feed your body to all the animals. They're going to eat you up. I think Goliath's trying to make David feel even more scared than he already was. Well, I don't know if he was. He seems pretty brave, doesn't he? David says, nope. You have spoken evil against the Lord, and the battle is the Lord's, and today he's going to deliver you into our hands. When you face something that seems really giant, I want you to know that you can trust God to take care of you. You can trust God to take care of you. I imagine, at least I'm praying this is the case, that every adult, and for that matter, even every kid, who taped something that seems giant in their lives out there on those boards, can think back and think, you know what? God has never left me. Sometimes I felt alone, but really God was always there. And I don't really know how all this is going to work out. And I wish that it would work out right now. But I know that God's taking care of me. I was 5 years old when my grandfather passed away. He was like my best bud. We did all sorts of things together. I didn't realize it at the time. I wasn't really thinking about how my grandmother felt. I was just thinking about how I felt. I knew she was sad too. But later, she told me that what got her through loneliness, and she's been a widow now for, I guess, about 30 plus years. She said she would, as she went around the house doing the things that she did, she would sing to herself, "Not God will take care of you." She changed the words, "God will take care of me." Through every day or all the way, He will take care of me. Well, I want you to know, no matter what it is that you're dealing with tonight, God will, I'm confident in this, God will take care of you. I don't know if He'll make the dark not be scary anymore. I don't know if somebody wrote down what scares me are Halloween costumes. Listen, I understand that. And some of us don't even have to put on the costume to be scary, okay? So I don't know if one day maybe we won't be as scared of those things as we are today. But I know this, God will be with us always. And He will take care of us. I know He will. And part of the reason why I know that is because He took care of David and of His people Israel. God did save His people, just like He had done with Noah and the flood, just like He did with the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Here, God equipped David, and God won. So the lesson is, God is bigger than any of our problems, than any of our difficulties. David's courage didn't come from being strong. It came from knowing that God was with him. In 1 Samuel 17:48, the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. All right, so I'm thinking like, when it says he arose and came near to meet David, I think that kind of means he starts charging at him, okay? So imagine somebody that tall running at you. All right, if it was me, I'd probably be running the opposite, you know, I'd be running the same direction he's running, but away from him. David gets up and starts running toward Goliath. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And David put his hand in his bag. He took out one of those stones. He slung it and struck the Philistine right in the forehead. You know where your forehead is, right? Right in the forehead. And what I've read is people believe that that must have crushed the frontal bone of his cranium. And the Bible says the stone sank into his Goliath's forehead. It's kind of nasty, isn't it? And he fell on his face to the ground. Sometimes we stop there. I don't know if Goliath was really dead at this point, but I know this, he was about to be. Because then David took that sword and he cut Goliath's head off. Okay, gross. This isn't Halloween, it's Thanksgiving time. But, you know, I got to tell the Bible story, okay? Got to tell the Bible story. What'd you learn at church tonight? David cut a guy's head off. Okay, well, that's good. You were listening. Here's what I want you to know. God is with you too. God is with you. God loves you. He's with you. In fact, He's promised over and over and over again, "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." Listen, many years later, I want to make sure you've got that down so you can listen to this next part. Many, many years later, God would send His people a hero, a champion to fight for them. This man was pretty young as well. He was just about 30 or so when he started his ministry for the Lord. And he died when he was maybe around 33 or so. This hero fought the greatest battle the world has ever known. See, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus came. And just like David was out there fighting on behalf of all the people of Israel, they weren't all fighting, it was just David. Jesus came and Jesus was fighting Satan and sin by going to that cross. And in dying on the cross, He made it possible for all of us to be saved. In fact, the New Testament sometimes calls Jesus our rock. Not necessarily in the same sense as the smooth stones that David used against Goliath, but more kind of like a foundation. You know what I mean when I say foundation? Something real solid that you can stand on. If you get on a trampoline and try and stand up, you can probably stand up, but it's a little uneasy, right? Your legs may give way a little bit. Or what if you were in a hammock and you tried to stand up in a hammock? You know, it won't work. It's constantly moving around. But if you're standing on a solid foundation, that means the floor beneath you isn't going anywhere. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to be able to stand up. And the Bible refers to Jesus as a rock in that sense. Jesus is a solid foundation. Just like the wise man built his house on the rock, and when the rains came tumbling down, the wise man's house stood firm. In the same way, if you and I will follow Jesus and build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're building on this foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. And it's a foundation that the apostles are a part of and the prophets before them. And Jesus is even described sometimes as the chief cornerstone, the stone that they would set in the corner and they could make sure everything else was going to be level because that stone was right there. What I'm trying to tell us tonight is that God gives the victory. God gives the victory. See, David said to Goliath, the battle belongs to the Lord. And by that, what he meant was, we're going to win, and it's really that God's going to win. God's going to help us fight this. God is here with us. The battle belongs to him. And just like God equipped David for victory, he equips us for victory through Jesus. So this evening, after our worship service is over, I'm going to encourage you to return to the boards out there. And you will find some rock labels. You can peel it off. And you can stick it on top of the piece of paper that you taped up there earlier today. To remind you, Jesus is my rock. That ultimately God is going to take care of everything. That doesn't always mean the things we're struggling with in life are going to go away, does it? Well, I read something. Y'all know what I mean. There are things that happen in life and it sort of makes you cry. You wish it wasn't that way, but it's just the way it is sometimes in life. Sometimes God doesn't take away the things that make us cry. But God's with us through all those things. But the Bible says when we get over there to heaven, God, he's just like our mom and dad or our grandparents or somebody really special to us. He'll take us and he'll wipe away the tears from our eyes. And I guess when God wipes away tears, that means that he makes everything okay. I was thinking tonight about our sermon. And I was out there reading this afternoon and praying about the things that we had posted out on those boards. And I was reminded of a song. This is my all-time new favorite song. It's called Goodness of God. If you were here during the VBS adult class this summer, we learned it when we studied about Joseph here. And I'd like for us to sing it tonight. Maybe the people in the booth will help us advance these slides as we go, and maybe they'll help all of us by reducing the volume of my microphone when we start singing. I want you to think about the words of this song. In the chorus it says, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." I hope this song isn't like salt in a wound for those who are hurting tonight. I know that there are those of us, even in this room, who are hurting. But I hope instead it draws us to the goodness of God that gives us courage like David's to say, the battle is the Lord's. He'll work all of this out. You ready? I love you, Lord.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I rebel in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Pray with me. Father, we know that every battle we have belongs to you, that you are all powerful, and that you, whether we're in the middle of those scary moments or whether that you've delivered us from them, that you are in control, that you will help, that you will give victory. Thank you for Jesus who makes it possible. And help all of us, whether older or younger, whether we're going through something hard right now or not, to trust in you. And please give us wisdom to know what to do and to do everything we do in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. I know that He'll be good to all of us if we'll trust Him. Are you His tonight? Somebody wrote that the valley for them was that they are not baptized yet. I don't want to ask anyone to do something that he or she isn't ready to do. And I don't know who wrote that. And maybe you're not the one who wrote it, but it still applies. I just want to say this. Now's a great time to obey the gospel. To become a Christian, to do what you know the Lord wants you to do. And when you trust in Him and obey His will, even though there may be other scary things that you're dealing with, you can go on knowing that you've given your burden to the Lord and that He's helping you through. And you just don't have that kind of confidence if you're not His child, if you're not a Christian. So if there's a need that any of us in this room have tonight, we'd urge you to come to the front and let us know so we can help and direct you to God while we stand and sing.